Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the I Am Well Show. And tonight's guest is a very special lady from the UK, Joanne Hall. We are hoping to welcome her soon. She's checking in with Skype. And your host... Oh, just a minute. I'm getting feedback. Just take care of that. There we go. All settled. This is your host, Annemieke van Eijkeren from the Netherlands, and you can find me on innersightmedium@gmail.com. The website is crystallinetherapies.com. My co-host is Rhonda Harrison, and her website is hummingbirdhealingoils.com. And where you can find Joanne, she will reveal to you during the show. Now, Joanne is kind of special. She does live readings on pets, is available to help you when your pet has gone missing or has been stolen, and this can also be done from photos. As an extra special feature, she provides an online course for pet owners, so you want to check that out. What it is all about, we will reveal during the show. So she's a communicator doing readings for people and their animals all over the world. And she wrote her life story in the book, The Pet Psychic, about how she grew up with animals and how she became a pet psychic. And her second book is Puppy Tales, and it celebrates the wonderful dogs in our lives. She's done TV appearances, guest expert slots, radio shows, writing for leading magazines. She is really living her dream with the job that she does, with the animals that she loves and respects, doing what she loves, working to make a better life for animals, and that's her life's goal, her work. And what the future holds, she has many projects and events planned throughout the year. You can find it on her website. You can take a peek there and see how she can be of service to you and what events she has planned. Also online events that you can take part in and that you would like to be in, to understand your animal better, to communicate better. And also, she can help you when your animal is sick and the doctor can't help it, or your animal seems to be out of sorts and nothing can be found. Just ask Joanne. You never know what's wrong with the animal. So we're welcoming Joanne in the studio. She seems to have arrived from the United Kingdom. Hello, Joanne.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. I hope you have lots of coffee.
I know, I'm sort of out of sorts at the moment. It's 2 a.m. here in the UK, but I'm delighted to be on the show, and hopefully we've got some fantastic listeners that we can have a chat to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I'm so sorry that it is 2 a.m. in the UK. I can cheer you up. It's 3 a.m. here.
Oh, that then. I'm not alone.
You're not the only one who's up in the middle of the night. I have this every week, so trust me, it's kind of a thing that you get used to when you do it every week, although I would wish it would be at a more civil hour.
So it's an absolute pleasure.
Lovely. Oh, Joanne, when I see how busy you are, it is really, really amazing. I mean, seriously, looking at your website, looking at everything that you do, you have so much going on. You can find Joanne on www.joannehull.info. That's JoanneHull.info. And you can find her courses, her readings, her web shop. You can contact her on there with your concerns and see how she can be of service to you if you can't, you know, figure it out on your own. There's webinar training. There is a one-day workshop, distance learning. There is so much on it, I don't know where to start.
Yeah, I'm very busy. It's... Animals are my life, and I've dedicated my life to serving them and making sure that everybody, can serve them as well. We want to make the best possible life. There's never enough hours in the day, and there's so much we can cover. And, you know, it's just one of those things that It's a never-ending job.
Oh, I bet they keep you busy, yes. Do people call you up in the middle of the night?
Yeah, well, they did. I've actually had to really rein back because, you know, when you work in this sort of industry, you know, it's a passion, and my love for animals puts me in bizarre situations. And if my phone was on, I guarantee you I would not get any sleep whatsoever. So, you know, there comes a limit where I actually now have to really rein back my sort of working time. But I'm very approachable, and I am on Facebook, and I make sure I speak to my clients, and, you know, I'm not sort of somebody in the distance. I am actually approachable. So I'm on there most of the time. If anybody goes onto Facebook, they'll see that I'm always on there chatting to everybody. So I am around, but I try not to have the phone calls as such, because sometimes I do actually have to have a life myself.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. And I agree. I know how it is. I've been there and done that. You have to set boundaries. You can be there for others, but you also have to love yourself and say, okay, this is me time. Stop it now. I need to eat, sleep, and have some fun myself as well. You know,
absolutely.
Just how it is.
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm always there for emergency. People know how to get hold of me. So,
yes.
And they come up all the time. You know, you just
have
to each day. I know, you just have to take each day as it comes, but the animals, you know, they always find a way to get to you.
Yes, they do. They do. Even without their owners, they find their way, and they get that little paw in between the door, and they open up and they go like, you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They always find a way.
Yeah, I have pets as well. I have 4 cats, a rabbit, and 2 dogs, and even though they don't make noise, they tend to get into my head like, do you know it is time for me to eat it? I'm really hungry, and I know you want to sleep in, but guess what? I'm not letting you.
Yes, I have some of those too.
Really?
I actually have one with me right now. Her name's Pip, a little Jack Russell. But yeah, the animals, you know, they know what they want. They know when it's important. They know how to get hold of people that can actually help them. So if they can't get through to their own, I mean, we call them owners, but I call them pet parents,
yes.
They will find people to get through to them. So, you know, animals know a lot more than what we know. And they're trying to teach us on a daily basis. And we're so thick, really, as humans. The animals are very, very forward thinking and a lot more intelligent than we'll ever be. So they do find a way in the end to get to the right people.
Yes, they do. They do. My cats have found me. My dogs were born, but my cats have really found me from all over the place. And my pets don't, or my cats at least, my dogs see me as their boss, but my cats see me as their employee.
Yes, they do. And the cats are very, very intelligent. You know, we live to serve them. I've got Siamese myself at home. I've got 4.
God.
And they are a little bit sort of human-like. And anybody who's ever had,
yes,
Siamese and Orientals will know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And I am their slave. That's it. There's no, you know, doubt about it. But, I mean, I deal with all different species, from wild animals to domestic. And, you know, they're all very, very intelligent. I mean, you do get different personalities. And, you know, some are a little bit more intelligent than others. But, in Maine, most species, you know exactly how to get what they want, and us humans are here to catch up.
So you said also wild animals. So say just that someone has a tiger that's a little out of sorts. Can they ask you for a tiger?
They can, yes. I mean, it doesn't, communication doesn't stop with domestic pets. I teach thousands of people all around the world, and we, you know, on the courses, I get people to speak to wild animals. Now, that can be anything from tigers to camels. I mean, I've done camels myself live on a TV show. It can be just walking down the road and speaking to a seagull or a bird species. You know, it doesn't matter what animal it is, every animal is capable of communication through telepathic ways. I mean, it's not just, you know, we all know animals communicate through body language. This is, you know, well known and documented everywhere. But animals also talk through what we call heart to heart, and it's just a simple expression of love. So they send pictures via sort of, it's a telepathic connection. And so if they can send pictures to each other in their mind's eye or in their what we call heart to heart, then so can we. And it's, you know, it's a proven scientific fact that, you know, a telepathic communication can be done between human and human. And now we can do it between animal and human. Animals have been doing this for centuries, obviously, you know, beginning of time, but we're slowly catching up. And there's, luckily, there's thousands and thousands of animal communicators out there now training people, which is fantastic because we, you know, we're scratching the surface on what is actually possible that was always thought impossible. And it's just a magical, magical thing to do. And when you get your first communication and it's validated, it's just, there's just nothing, I can't even explain how amazing it is. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, I've done some telepathic stuff myself. I have one dog that tends to be very pushy. When I'm in bed, she wants me out of bed. She wants to go out and she wants to do and she wants. And at a certain point, I was just fed up and I just sent her an image like, okay, this is what you're going to look like if you don't shut up right now. That was her with a muzzle on. And she did shut up. She was like, oh dear, I don't want to have that. You know, she's a little puppy on, a real lady. So she doesn't want to have a muzzle on her little face. Now then she better shut up in the middle of the night, okay? You mentioned having had communication with a camel. Now this is intriguing. What goes on in a camel's mind?
Well, previous to this TV show, I had never, ever communicated with a camel, so I was completely on a blank page. I actually didn't know myself. And the camel was called Sophia. It was actually on Sharon Osbourne's show. And I've never been so intimidated by a camel before. They're huge in the flesh. Yes. You know, we see them on pictures and we think, oh, they're unusual. You know, they're really lovely. But when you're standing next to one, I was overwhelmed by the size. And I've got to say, if anybody watched that show, I mean, it was a couple of years ago now, I was hanging on to Sharon for dear life because I was absolutely petrified. You know, this animal communicator in front of about 2,000 studio audience hanging on to Sharon Osbourne. It was fascinating, to be honest. It wasn't what I expected. And this is the beauty of communication, because you don't get what camels do during the day. This particular camel was telling me all about a birthday party and that she was eating strawberries. And it was bizarre. I was thinking, this can't be right. But obviously, when you do communication, you just have to go with what you're getting. And so I told them all about this birthday party she was telling me about and how she had friends. And there was a lot of way. And anyway, it turned out when the owner, and I say owner loosely, remember, but when the owner was there, they actually confirmed that the week before or a couple of weeks before that she'd actually just had her birthday party, and they actually had a birthday party with all the friends and strawberries and everything else. Now, I would never have guessed a camel had a birthday party, but absolutely spot on. So I honestly can't even explain how weird that was. But, you know, with communication, you've just got to go with it. And that's one of the things I teach people. You know, it can be the most bizarre things and it doesn't ring right for that particular animal. But if that's what they're saying they're doing, that's what they're saying they're doing. You've got to go with it. So so in that case, the camel was having a birthday party.
Yes, I've seen special things about animal communication before. Also on YouTube, there are a few. And there was one particular one about a black panther that was completely off his rocker. It was completely unapproachable and whatnot. And then they brought that person in to talk to it. And they had also given it the name Satan, which was not really, you know, was not happy with the name. And the panther told them what its real name was. And it also asked about the place that it had come from, because where they brought it from, there were little cubs as well. It were not the cubs of this panther, but they were of the same species. And the panther was very concerned what had become of the little babies. So they had to put his mind to rest that the babies were completely okay and had gotten a lovely home and were well taken care of, had not ended up in a zoo or a source. And during an hour of communicating with the panther, he calmed down. He became more approachable, less tense, and he never wanted to get out of his cage. And at that point, he got up and you know, got out of the cage, walked about, because he had the opportunity all the time. He just didn't do it. So it can do so much for an animal to just make them understand that you can understand how they feel and that you might be able to help them in some way that they need. We have no idea, obviously, about how much it is needed for an animal to express themselves.
Absolutely. And this is one of the main things we deal as animal communicators nowadays. You know, our animals are constantly trying to get messages over to us. And, you know, we don't listen. And it's through, we've sort of lost the ability. I mean, children are very, very good at this, and yeah. Children pick up animals' signals and their communication very simply, and they don't know why they're picking it up, and they don't really understand it, but they do, and that's why they have such a strong connection. And as we grow and become adults, we're conditioned by our society not to understand animals, and we see them as almost like objects. So we lose that innate ability to really connect. Now, those people out there maybe listening to this who have dogs and cats in a domestic setting will know that their animal speaks to them. They don't know quite how, but they understand them on a deeper level, and that's what we call a connection. Now, mm-hmm. there is a process that we can go down that actually allows us to understand, well, how do we connect? What is it we're feeling? What is it we're hearing? And it gives the animals a chance to get over their needs and wants and desires. Now, whether it's a wild animal like the panther, and I know exactly the story you're talking about, and or whether it's a domestic animal, it makes no difference. They all need to get across what they need to get across. Some are very successful at it in a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
As mine are, and I'm sure yours are.
Others
really struggle. And the ones that really struggle really end up making themselves ill. And this is where they develop illness, they develop behavioural problems. I mean, puppies and kittens, etc., aren't born with problems. They're created, and man or humans create these problems. So by understanding what's wrong and understanding how we can make their life better, we're then able to create a really happy and content animal. We never understand everything because they're different. They're not human. They're animals, but they do communicate. And so we give them a chance to express how they feel. We try and make, as far as a human can, make their life as good as possible. And for instance, the story of the panther, just by releasing its fears and concerns, made the animal relax and just be able to live in that condition that it was put in. And I know it was a massive turning point for that animal. And now we get breakthroughs every day with this work. And when you see the difference it can make to even the simplest thing, and it can be as simple as the dog's bed is in the wrong place in the home, and it's, you know, it's maybe got a draft, and it all it needs is its bed moved, or it doesn't like the bowl it's drinking out of. You know, maybe it's a tin bowl and it's got a strange taste to it and it wants a ceramic bowl. And simple little things like this can make a massive difference to your pets. So with animal communication, sometimes it's just a well-being commission, and other times it's a major issue, and you never really know what you're going to get until you talk to them. So every animal's different, just like humans, and they all have their own personalities, and they all have their own desires, and all have their own wants.
Yes, absolutely. You know, sometimes there are issues that you just can't overcome. I mean, one of my dogs had a few babies a few times, and after the last time she wasn't able to keep her pee up anymore. Now, you can't have that dog running around in your house, so I had to put her in a bench for, you know, otherwise she would be peeing all over the place all the time. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like it, and I don't like having her there. I like her laying on the sofa, but it's just not an option at the moment, and she's not happy with it. I know she's not, but she has sort of, you know, she understands, and she's like, yeah, but I can't help it. I said, yeah, I know you can't help it, but I also don't want you peeing all over the place here. So there is a Absolutely. Big cat litter box that she could use, but she doesn't want to. Yeah. So because the cats are on it, it's too dirty for the little lady, mm-hmm. and I can't have the door open all the time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in cases such as this, you know, if you can send that message why, and the animals, whether you say it out loud verbally or you say it within your mind, the reasons why. I mean, I've just done a little thing recently, and it was the what, why, and when factor. And yeah. basically, it just means, you know, tell them what is happening, tell them why it's happening, and when it's happening. But that can be for anything, really, because you can, you know, you can explain to the animals why you can't have them on the sofa or why you can't have them in the house because of, and then the yep. reasons why. And, you know, you can't always fix things. We can't always have the perfect life. We can make things easier, but we can't always have the perfect life for these animals. So we have to, as caretakers, I guess, try and make it as easy as possible and let them, you know, allow them to understand why, the reasons why. And there are ways around it. I mean, you know, you can buy pet pants nowadays. I mean, they look hideous, but it may allow the animal to lay on the sofa for an hour, you know, for a cuddle in the evening, you know. So there's various things you could perhaps not just animal. This time with you on the sofa, and you know, obviously stops the pee pee going all over the place. But, so there are options
out
there.
She gets her cuddles. I cuddle her all the time when I, you know, she knows that I can't bend my back real well, so she stands up against my leg, and then I cuddle her very gently because she likes to have everything done very gently, and the yeah. other one likes to play it rough, you know.
Absolutely.
And there are so many differences, but this particular one likes everything done very gently. She likes to be a little crazy at times, you know, run around a little bit. And also, she's not the youngest anymore, okay? She's 10 years old, so
yeah,
she's not like a young puppy anymore. And she understands. She's very clever. That doesn't necessarily mean that she wouldn't like to change the situation, but there's just no option for it, you know?
Yeah.
And she knows. She gets a lot more attention and freedom and moving around outside the house than the usual dog gets. And, you know, and I talk to my animals a lot, but I wish that other people would not just put the leash on a dog, walk him for 10 minutes three times a day, and then tell him to lay in their bed and shut up.
Oh, I know.
It must be so frustrating.
It's I, you know, that people can be so frustrating.
Oh, you bet.
I mean, you know, there are fantastic people out there with their pets. And you know, I mean, luckily those are the ones that come and contact me, and I love my work, I really do. But when I see situations that I can't really do anything about, it's very, very frustrating. It's very sort of emotional for me. You know, I mean, the simple thing is, you know, people, why do we walk dogs? I mean, not all dogs want to go for a walk. Why do I not go to the gym? I don't want to go to the gym. You know,
Absolutely.
Yet there's people out there that really love going to the gym. So we've got to look at dogs as individuals. And, you know, there's a certain person in my village who drags the dog every day, 9 o'clock in the morning, out. And you can see this dog really does not want to walk. It does not want to go for a walk, yet it's their ritual to go and walk. And you think, look, if you know, each dog or each animal has its own personality, and you touch yourself, you know, they're all different. And not every single animal wants to do the same thing. They're not, you know, they're not carbon copies of each other. They're completely individual personalities. And you've got to look at your animal and make that decision of what's best for that animal. What does it really want to do? What's your gut feeling? Because we go with a gut feeling. That's communication. Which is why sometimes they call, you know, people like myself psychics. We just listen a bit deeper. We have a deeper connection. And you've got to look at that animal and think, right, okay, what's best for this animal? What does it like doing? Is it happy just going into the garden, pottering around for 5 minutes and then coming back in and sleeping? And those hound lovers will know most hounds like doing that. You know, you can have a small dog that likes walking for miles or goes jogging, etc. And you can have a big greyhound that just does nothing but snooze on the sofa. You know, it doesn't necessarily want to go walks. So you've got to look at each animal individually and, you know, what's right for them. And, you know, it's not the be all and end all to go walking dogs every day. Yes, they need exercise, but not every single dog needs exercise. So I always say, look at your animal. What's your gut feeling with this? You know, do they really enjoy their walk? I mean, dogs love it. Mine do. But, you know, I see this poor dog every morning. Yeah, and you know what it wants to do is curl up on the sofa. It doesn't want to walk. You know, it's very frustrating, you know, seeing different people doing the wrong thing. And I see it all the time.
A lot of people have dogs out of ego. And it's just to make them look better or make them feel better or whatever. And there is this, we have a special person like that here in my village as well. Mm-hmm. And she means well. She means to take care of those animals that are sick and whatnot. And she even has this little sort of a skateboard type thing that, because the one dog really has one leg that doesn't work anymore, it's half paralyzed and whatnot, and she wants it to come. And then she was walking just one dog when I last saw her, and she was really, you know, getting the dog already way over its limit. And I stopped her and I said, do you understand? Because she knows me well. Do you understand that your dog is suffering greatly, that it has an enormous amount of pain, and you are really torturing it by wanting it to walk? I know you mean well, but the dog is not happy. And so she asked me, well, she said, well, really, I think it needs some exercise to loosen up the muscles. I said, the only thing you do is hurt it to a point where it is tormenting, and this dog is beyond all help. It is completely... it is old, it is very sick, it has arthritis, it has rheumatism, it has bad lungs. Whatever are you thinking, keeping that dog alive against all odds? Because that's what she's doing. She's keeping animals alive that should have passed on already for a long time with whatever she can think of and can pull out of her nanny purse to actually, you know, it's just like Mary Poppins. She finds something again, something new out of her big bag that can help the dog live a little longer. And she doesn't understand that she's actually not doing them a service as such, but she's not listening to the dog. She's only listening to her own need to help those animals in need. It's like the damsel in distress in the tower that needs to be saved, something like that.
It's a very difficult situation. I mean, I specialize in animals passing over and people dealing with grief and, you know, making decisions. And it's a very difficult situation because in most cases, the and I say it loosely again, the owner of the pet knows that animal better than anybody else. And you know, I myself was in a situation a few years back with Klein, who was my small little poodle I'd had for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And he looked like the walking dead. He smelt like the walking dead. He really did stink. But he wasn't ready to go. So you get the extremes where some animals are, you know, really don't look great, but they're not ready to leave this place yet. And For me, in that situation, I used to lie, and I'm a communicator myself, but I used to lie there and say, "Look, are you ready? Can you need to go. This is, it's too much. You need to go." And he was, he had a will of a tiger. He just was not ready. And it was so contradictory for me because I could see this dog deteriorating before my eyes. He was 17. He was a strong little dog, but he just wasn't. What's the word? He looked dreadful, but he wasn't ready. And unfortunately, only the person who is connected to that animal will know when the time is right. There are people, like you say, that keep animals alive for whatever reason, but in most cases, and I would say most cases, 99%, the owner will know when the time is right, and that animal will tell you, and that animal will show you. And it's a really fine line. It's a very difficult one
Yes,
for me
it
to work with because I do understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, I do know because I speak to the animals all the time. I know for a fact that they do let their people know when the time is right. And if, we go back to this gut feeling, you do know, and you question it. And when I work with people who are in that situation, it's an awful situation to be in. And I do this daily with people, but you already know the answer. It's almost like they want validation from someone else to know that they're doing the right thing, because there's nothing worse than being asked to have your animal put to sleep
Yeah.
by outsiders, whether it be the vet or whether it be other people, and sort of gut feeling that it's not time, but you go ahead with it anyway. And I deal with people who have gone down this route and have taken advice from everybody else and have gone and got their pet euthanized, and 5 years on, they're still dealing with that guilt, and it's a really difficult situation for them.
Yes.
No matter what situation it is, it's the person who is connected to that animal has to make that decision, and you know deep down. Now, if you have to get somebody to validate what you're saying, then that's absolutely fine. But only you know your own animal. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, only you know your own animal because only you are connected. We can look from the outside in and think that we're seeing the correct thing. But it's the person who is connected to that animal will know the truth. And it's a really difficult situation. I understand totally where you're coming from, and I understand totally where people are coming from who have to make the decision because I work with every day. But
Well,
the guilt can be a huge.
I wouldn't want her to put the dog down. Just the dog was hurting so much. I told her, let it stay at home. Just open the door to your little garden. Let her, hobble around a little there
Absolutely.
to have it pee and poop, and then get her back inside because all she wants to do is lay in her comfy bed and be tickled every once in a while. And that's really all she
Absolutely.
wants. She doesn't want to go for the walks that you do with well intent, but that is hurting her so much. And what you say about a dog being ready, I had a German Shepherd. No, not a German Shepherd. I had a big, big, big Border Collie, as big as a German Shepherd. O'Neill, never forget him. And O'Neill had a heart problem. So I wanted to put him to sleep, and my daughter said no, because she's a veterinarian's age, she wants to try everything. You go on holiday for 2 weeks. I was going to the United States. You go on holiday. I'll take care of him. I'll do everything that I can and give him his medication, blah, blah, blah. When you come back, we can still see. I said, if anything happens when I'm away and he has to be put down, just do it, okay? If he's so bad, and she is very highly gifted as well in the psychic, so she talks to animals even better than I do. So I came back and I found my dog laying in the hall, not able to get up. And he wagged his tail when he saw me come in after 2 weeks, but he wasn't able to get up. So I took the phone, I called the vet, and he said, yeah, I was in last week to vaccinate your puppies. And I saw him, and he said it was just so terrible to look at that dog. And I said, well, you could have put him to sleep. He said, yeah, but you weren't there. So yeah, I said, okay, can I come over now? He said, "You just come over, bring the dog, and we'll just finish this, because if he can't get up anymore and he's looking at you like, please let me go," which he was doing.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, "Okay, I just called the vet and we're going to go over there and we're going to help you cross over and go play with all your friends who are already on the other side." And I tell you, that dog that couldn't get up got on his feet, mm-hmm. walked to the car, got in the car,
yeah.
and was having a smile on his face.
Absolutely. And that, you know, and you know, that is your right thing to do. You knew deep down what was needed to be done, and that dog was, you know, whether, I mean, some people will say, you know, he waited until you come back off your holiday. Some animals do. Some animals know that you can't cope with the passing and they go when you're not there.
Yes.
So, you know, they can take themselves off to die. They can, you know, create this. They're very, very clever, and they don't see death and dying as we do as humans. They see it more of a transitional thing. So it's not a massive issue for them as it is for us. And we grieve the loss of the physical, I guess.
Yes.
And that makes it very, very difficult. But when you know, you know. And that's the only way I can describe it. When you know, you know. And those animals will guide you to that decision. And again, as I say, I'll go back to it, but you know your own animal, and that decision that you made will sit well with you because you knew it was the right time. It's decisions that are made for you that don't sit well that will lead to guilt, that will lead to what ifs, and lead to, did I do the right thing? Was it the right time? Blah, blah, blah. And it normally isn't. Do you know what I mean? It's a really complicated area, because we need to do the right thing for the animal, but only the owner or only that person who is connected to that animal will know the truth and what you know, what the right time is.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Joanne, I wanted to look into, besides your books, we'll be getting to your books, but just for now, I wanted to spend a little time looking at creating harmony between humans and animals through distance learning course that you have available, a 12-module course for, I think, a very affordable price. There's no time limit on it, and there's no pressure on how fast you should go. Can you enlighten us a little bit about that, what's in there, what people will learn? Because I think this is something a lot of people will like to do.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I found over the years, I mean, we continually learn. I myself, you know, I've always been an animal communicator from as far back as I remember. But I'm fascinated in the hows, whys, and whens, and understanding how we connect with animals on a deeper level, and why, you know, we're only really just finding out about it. I guess our ancestors knew all about this, but you know, people today are just learning that we can actually connect with animals. And a lot of the times when you look at courses, whether they be distance courses or one-day workshops, etc., they're so expensive. I wanted to put something together because my vision is every single person on this planet talk with the animals and create a better life for them, because that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's simple. I love animals and I want everybody to love animals. So I didn't want something that was out of reach for people. I wanted something that was affordable. I mean, I also do payment plan. If people really are struggling, you know, I'll do a payment plan. You know, I'm flexible. You know, I don't want anybody to be out of the loop. Obviously, I need to pay my bills and I need to pay my rent, so I need to earn something. But I wanted it affordable for people. And it's a 12-module course that you can do in the comfort of your own home. I don't put a time limit on, which some courses do. Again, when I was looking for training in different aspects of, you know, sort of the psychic realm and quantum physics, etc., it's an expensive thing, and then they give you 12 months to finish it. Now, we all know that life happens, and you know, things come up, and we suddenly go off on a different tangent, and we haven't got time to do, you know, home learning, or whether it's a workshop or whatever. We just don't have time these days, you know. And so I didn't want to put a time limit on it. I mean, I have some people who have been doing the course for the last 5 years, not through not wanting to finish, but just, you know, they've had a baby or, they've, you know, life's taken over, but they've come back to it. So it's there's no time limit. It's 12 modules, and it basically takes you from the very basics of animal communication through to working as a professional within the industry and helping as many animals as you can. And you do live readings throughout the course. I work with you making sure that you understand the concept and how it actually works, the mechanics of communication, and support you through your journey. Because what I want is other people. My passion is to teach people. It's okay for me to go around and do readings, etc., say I am the big, you know, communicator, etc., etc. That's not what it's all about. My role on this planet is to teach others how to do what I do, and therefore we can go out and create harmony between humans and pets and make the world a better place for these animals. So the more people I can get to understand how this works, because it's not a gift as such. I mean, obviously it's fantastic. It's a learned skill that we all have the ability to learn. So if I can teach people how to do this and create those bonds, or create the capacity to go out and teach other people, then that's what it's all about. And the course will actually take you right the way through, right the way, whether you want to use it just on your own pets or whether you want to go out and teach other people how to communicate.
Absolutely. So there's a whole in that course. You can do your own time and no pressure. Sure, if you want to take a time out for whatever reason, that's fine too, and you get to work live with Joanne as well. How does it get any better than this? I mean, seriously, find Joanne on www.joannehull.info, and you will find anything and everything you want to know about her, how, what she does, how she does it, how you can get to her books, everything. The books. You get two books out and working on a third. You got the Pet Psychic and Puppy Tales right now, and there's a third in the making.
Well, there's actually a fourth, but we won't go there. There's not enough hours in the day. there's probably a few more after that as well. But I've got to keep reining myself back and going, right, one at a time, one at a time. There's so much information I want to get out there, and I wish I could write faster. But the third book's been a long time coming. The third changed, it switched to the topic, because there's two issues I read in the situation of animals. It's, you know, I love animals, you know, everybody else has animals. And the book has changed slightly from, it was going to be a sort of celebration of all animals and how we communicate, etc., etc. I felt that I'd sort of covered this with the first two books. And as I said earlier, I deal mainly with passing over, people that are going through bereavement, people that have really connected with their animals. They're not just dogs, just cats. They are part of the family. They're our connection. Other times I who have maybe difficult relationships with humans, and their sort of their animals. It might be a dog, it might be a cat, but that's the only thing in their life they really connect with, and they struggle with a human relationship. So when they lose that animal, they really, really struggle with life and how to move forward and how to regain control of their well-being. And they can really be affected by the loss of that. So the third book is all about bereavement and how we move forward and how we can go through the process in a practical but a helpful way, so that we can move forward and regain control of our life and not be crushed by the death or the passing of that animal.
So there's a whole lot that people can get from the books you have, distance learning. You have free guides on your website as well.
Yes.
There are free guides on there. There is a webinar training and there is a one-day workshop. The one-day workshop is in person, isn't it?
It is. I love teaching. As I said, I love being face to people and really seeing that magic happen for them. Because, you know, when I do workshops and I've done thousands all over, and, you know, people walk in as skeptics and they say, you know, this communication, it's a load of, you know, baloney and it can't be done, and it's, you know, you're fantasizing about animals and making them human, and I've heard it all, trust me, I've heard it all. But when they walk in as skeptics and they see we work with live animals on the day, and we have, I mean, we can have any animal. We've had reptiles to, we've had a skunk to we've everything in the workshops before, but we work with animals on the day, and I actually teach you how to connect, to communicate, how to send messages, receive them back. And with that skeptic person who thought it was absolutely impossible, and trust me, I've taught people from, you know, the newspapers to journalists who said it can't be done, to vet lecturers, to, you know, whatever. And when you see that transformation of that person, suddenly they realize that they've got information that just cannot be, it just can't be explained. And they realize that this communication thing isn't baloney, and actually we can talk to the animals with the process. It's, for me, it's just magical. Absolutely. It's my passion to go out and teach one-to-one. And I only keep the workshops to about 25 people so that I have plenty of time to work, you know, one-to-one with everyone. And we have such a great day. It's the energy in the room is amazing. The animals are absolutely, they come through every time. They're fantastic for it. And we also have staff as well. Their info, tone, pets, on the day, I work with them. You know, there's lots of tears, lots of option, but I like to think there's lots of love today as well. But it's a real revelation for people, and I think that, you know, over the years, that's where I get my biggest buzz, because I see the transformation on the day, and it literally only takes a day, and they've changed their life forever with animals. And, you know, I've taught some of the top communicators in the UK who have gone on to write books and teach other people, and I'm like a proud mum. You know, I see these people come, you know, in anything, suddenly transforming their lives, going and having the most amazing years, going and hallelujah. It's just fantastic and perfectly doable. And you can go out and change the world, you know, if you want to say it like that. But we really are changing the world. Then it's just the best thing ever. It's just, I love what I do. So if anybody gets a chance to come onto a workshop, you know, I highly recommend it. Whether it's mine or someone else's, it doesn't matter. As long as it's an animal community.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's benefiting your pets if you do. So we've covered your books. You do a lot of work in workshops. You do charities. And you do readings as well, one-on-one. Now, I saw a little notification that you are currently not taking readings, or has that changed?
I've been reading for the past 15 years, and I have so much work teaching, and I find that, as I said before, I can now teach more people to go out there and make more of a difference in the animal world than I can sitting in my office doing readings myself and maybe mm-hmm. helping one animal. If mm-hmm. I can teach others, I can help lots of animals. And that's the way I'm now. It seems trans in my own career, where it's really down the route of, well, I'm more, and so with writing the third book, I've had to really evaluate what's important now to what I'm doing and how I can make the best impact into the animal world, but still, you know, doing what I do. And that By the moment, currently, I am actually gathering, now this is hot off the press, some of the best communicators in the UK who will be soon on my website over the coming weeks, who will be my team of readers. So people can still get their readings via my website, but it will be perfectly selected people in trust who will do a fast for them. And direct and recommenders on my site.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. You know, it's like Michelle Knight. She's a TV personality and all that as well.
Yep.
She's, you know, a very, very well known psychic, certainly in the UK, but also outside.
Yeah,
and she has a whole string of really hand picked and trained people. And she does her things, but she doesn't do many readings herself anymore. She's having so many psychics work for her. And she does a weekly astrology and stuff like that. You know, Michelle is doing. She's having her things as well. She's very busy as she is, but not necessarily with one-on-one readings.
Yeah, I think people in this industry. This industry is a real strange one. You know, there's some amazingly talented people out there. And they give so much to other people that they lose themselves along the way. And I certainly have been through that. And I literally almost lost everything and managed to get everything back through sheer determination and the passion for my purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a very fine line for people in this industry to walk. And I think that, you know, yes, we can all do good, but we must remain true to ourselves. And I think that, you know, when you're in a situation where you know, you're on TV all the time, you're on the media, blah, 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 it gets very, very, you lose touch with reality and such. And the basis is what you're here to do, for myself, I talk. Is focus. That's slightly wrong, but you're pulled in all different directions from all different areas, and you end up losing what you're here to do, and you end up becoming this object for everybody else, and you lose who you are yourself. And I think that sometimes, you know, we don't value ourselves as servers to others. We don't value what service we actually give. And, you know, it took a long time. It took me 4 or 5 years, nearly losing everything, from being right at the top of the game to, you know, rock bottom. And I will, you know, if anybody knows my story, it's literally rock bottom. Maybe that's the book I should be writing.
Yeah, maybe title for a new book. Rock
but
bottom.
I think this is the side of this industry that people don't talk about, because we're all, you know, fluffy clouds and it's fantastic and etc. But, you know, there is a real darker side, especially with the media and the internet now. I mean, the cyberbullying, etc. I mean, I was victim of this, and stalkers and God knows what, because when you're at that stage, you open yourself up to all this, but nobody teaches you about it. So it's a fine line, and you've got to pull yourself up. You've got to say, right, what's important? What is my purpose? Why am I here? You know, I can't go off and do a normal job. That's not my purpose, and it just doesn't fit for me. My work is to help the animals. So as Michelle, and I know Michelle, and she's fantastic. You know, she's now delegated, and I think one of the things with strong women, and there's men out there as well. Strong women is we're control freaks, and when you are in control of all your daily life and your work and your career, you find it very difficult to let go of processes. So you find it very difficult to delegate, and one of the big learning curves I've really come across is I have to delegate. I have to put things out there for other people to do. I can't do everything myself, which is what I was trying to do. It was, you know, ruining I built up for the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So I think strong women, you know, they need to learn to delegate. And this is a learning curve for me now. And, you know, I am, hence why the readers will be coming onto the website to do the readings, because I cannot, I just haven't got enough hours in the day to do what my passion is. And that's helping the animals. So, you've really got to look at how you work and how the system works and what, and really look closely at what's working and what isn't working. And if it's not working, how can you fix it? So, and that's really where I am now. You know, the book is priority. The readings can be delegated to other people who I know and trust who are fantastic. And I can continue teaching people on a, you know, home study basis, and then obviously the one day workshops. So there's always a way around it. We just have to really take stock of how we work and what's most effective, because nobody can work when they can't function.
With less than 30 seconds to go, if you want to find Joanne, her services, what she can do for you, and the courses, the workshop, the books, and everything, www.joannehull.com. And thank you, Joanne, for being on the show. I'm so sorry the hour is already over. We could have used a lot more time, but we don't have it, because right after me is another show. When you have special activities, when you have a third book, etc., please do come back on the show. We'd love to have you back, and it would
oh,
be amazing to do another show. You're lovely to be,
oh, thank
you know,
you. It's
to be
been a
communicating
pleasure.
With.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope that everybody gives their animals a huge kiss from me tonight. And you know, if there's anything anybody needs, just you know where to get me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you, Rhonda, for being my co-host again. Thank you to all the listeners for being there again. The stats are spiking right now. And see you all next week. And after next week, we will have a 2-week break, because